Greetings, everyone. Good morning again. Day number 2 of the Feast of Tabernacles. Thanks to the choir. Beautiful piece. Very beautiful piece. I like to begin with a true story, one that involved our firstborn son when he was very young, about 3 years old. I've told this story to our local congregation in Oklahoma, and there's a handful of Okies here with us, but I know by far that most of you have not heard this story, so hopefully you will gain from it. My wife Denise, who is with me here attending the feast, had taken our 3-year-old son to a movie. Now, I wasn't present with them. I was working that day. In the lobby area of the theater, our son began running around a little bit, as young children do. So Denise had to go over and take hold of him and told him to be still, to quit running around. And at that moment, he looked up at her and said, "I'm sick and tired of you bossing me around all the time." 3 years old. 3 years old. Now, after the initial shock was over, Denise looked down at him and said, "Listen, young man, I'm your mother, and I can tell you, and I can boss you around if I want to." So he sort of hung his head and got the point as who was in charge. That evening, she told me what had happened. And we could not understand where he had gotten that phrase. He had never said anything like that before. "I'm sick and tired of being bossed around." Where did that come from? Some days later, we were reading to him one of his favorite storybooks. And I actually brought it with me today. It's called The Dragon and the Mouse. And it has survived these 32 plus years since we would read this to our son. This was written by Dr. Stephen Timm, T-I-M-M, and illustrated by Lalo, L-A-L-O. The Dragon and the Mouse. And I'd like to turn over to page 17 and read a sentence. One day the mouse said to himself, "I'm sick and tired of being bossed around. I'm going to do what I want to do." Then we knew where he had got it from. We had never picked up on that before. But he had zeroed in on that phrase. And of course now it's quite humorous and we remind him of that from time to time. Well, I want to talk today about being bossed around. About others telling us what to do. About rules and authority that we face every day in life. And I want to relate it all, eventually, to how well we submit ourselves to the rules and the laws of the great God that we worship, who indeed is our supreme boss. You know, as true Christians gathered here for this glorious Feast of Tabernacles, we should be ready and willing servants of our master boss, Jesus the Christ. We should welcome and want him to metaphorically boss us around quite a lot to share with us His teachings, to guide us through His words of Holy Scripture. We must live by every word of God. I've entitled this message, Being Bossed by God. And we shouldn't ever be offended at that. The story of our young son typifies a basic attitude of carnality that all of us have, all of us, to some degree. Our nature generally doesn't like to be told what to do. That's just natural in us. Whether it's a child of 3, a teenager of 16, a young adult of 35, which is the age of that son of ours today, or a middle-aged person, or even a senior citizen, all too often we exhibit a problem with authority. So I'm talking here today to pretty much everyone, including myself, and especially to our young people and to parents. This is Family and Youth Day. Now, our nation, as Mr. Petty talked somewhat on yesterday, was created somewhat in rebellion against rules. For many of us, our ancestors left Great Britain and Europe and other places to get away from rules considered too harsh and to find more freedom of religion and more opportunities to prosper themselves. And even today, the nation continues its debate over our rights and our freedoms and government authority in our everyday lives. Our carnal nature doesn't like being bossed around, told what to do, told by even a loving Creator God what to do. Most of the world rejects advice from that God. The Apostle Paul quotes from Isaiah chapter 65. I won't be turning there. In a writing to the church at Rome. And we read this in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 verse 21. And I'll be quoting from the New King James. Romans 10:21. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands. God appealing to his people to listen to him. To a disobedient and contrary people. Other translations say a very obstinate and opinionated people. And that seems to define the majority of Israel even today. Disobedient, contrary, obstinate, opinionated. Everyone's got an opinion. We have talk show radio, and everybody likes to call in and give their opinion. Yet for most of us, a typical day is full of rules. Once we leave home for work or school or whatever, we immediately face the authority of government in our lives. We have street signs and speed limits and seatbelt laws. Now, are these bad? Mostly not. You know, they usually get us safely to where we're going. They're mostly for our good. Can you imagine coming to the feast with no speed limits or no stoplights? I mean, it was hard enough to get down from Oklahoma to here on I-35 with all the road construction. So I'm glad there were some speed limits. And a few people obeyed those speed limits. And once at work, we face the authority of the company, the employer. And right off, they want to control our lives. They want us to show up for work every day. and start work at the same time. Every day, can you imagine? At work we see various levels of bosses and all kinds of company rules and policies that regulate the work environment. We face federal rules and state rules on top of company rules. We have policy manuals and procedures that guide our daily lives. Now, are these rules and policies bad? Mostly not. They help the company meet its mission. They give us employment. Without company rules, chaos would soon reign. Yet by nature, many employees tend to complain about the unfairness of rules and being bossed around by their various bosses. Now, of course, I'm not talking about clear, abusive worker situations, but our nature is one that we like to complain, and it seems we've always got something we don't like. Most of our young people here today are taking a break from school during the feast. They've been set free for a few days from all the many school rules that are in place for them and their teachers and the parents to follow, to allow some sense of order and harmony in the schools. You know, sadly, we see a tremendous breakdown in the respect for authority in our public schools today. And that's sad. And that breakdown seems to foster a lot of disobedience and actual defiance in our youth. So to those that are here who are young and in school, I would just recommend, and I would ask that you obey your teachers. Obey the rules at school. And don't go and follow any friends who feel like they want to go and break some rule. You know, a penalty is always awaiting any of us of any age who don't comply with the rules of man or of God. And of course, we have house rules if parents develop them and put them into play. When our two sons were growing up and in high school, we as parents did our best to enforce the house rules. There was no swearing allowed in our presence in the house. No bad language, no pornography, no tobacco was allowed. The Sabbath day was a time of peace and quiet. Good house rules provide young people a safe an appropriate environment that reinforces God's way of life. House rules put the parents in charge and their children in a position to learn respect from their parents. What a novel idea. The Apostle Paul taught in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, along this way of thinking, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. You know, far too many people across the nation are dying much too young. One reason is because of peer pressure, of going off and doing things that they shouldn't be doing, following their peers and ignoring, disobeying their parents, the house rules, not letting mom and dad be the boss in their lives. God gives us one of the Ten Commandments to honor our parents. Of course, parents need to be wise and knowledgeable and loving in teaching and setting rules for their children. So no matter where we go in life, we have rules. We all get bossed around a little bit every day. Even the store clerk, when we check out of a store, the grocery store, might want to try to boss us around. You can't do that. Can't do this. You know, yet if everyone did as they pleased, with no rules, no enforcement, would that make us happy? No. Not for very long anyway. Total chaos again. You know, as pictured in this very festival that we're keeping, we look to a future kingdom governed by God that will have rules and laws that people will be expected to live under. That initially they may not think is all that great, but they will come to love the law of God. From Genesis to Revelation, we see commandments, we see statutes, examples of righteous living given to us by God for our own good. It takes faith to obey God in fullness. God is a God of law and also a God of love. And there's no conflict between these two. The world struggles to reconcile a God of law and love. You can't be both, they seem to think. But yes, God is both. Paul says in Romans chapter 13, verse 10, Romans 13:10, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. The purpose of God's law, His rules, His righteous bossing us around, you might say, is to teach us how to be more like Him, how to truly love Him and love each other. And we love each other by submitting ourselves to each other. We love others by applying all of God's rules and principles in our daily walk. God wants us to come to the point where we gladly become His slaves and servants, very willing to be bossed around and to be guided and led by Him. God is our master. Let's notice again in Romans what Paul says. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. 6:16, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, that you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Verse 17, but God be thanked that though you were, past tense, were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Verse 22. Now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. And the end result of all of that is everlasting life. We have life, real life, only when we become a slave of God. Salvation comes by submitting ourselves fully to God, our master boss, letting God become our benevolent master. Yet this world as a whole has no desire to truly submit itself to God and His Word. The world sees little relevance in the Bible. The Bible is mostly dismissed by the media and by the academic and the political bodies of the world. The words of Christ have no significance to them, but to us, His words are everything. Everything in our lives. Our lives are based upon the Word of God. His words are truth, and they provide the pathway to life eternal. In Acts 17, verse 28, a portion of that verse says, "For in Him, in Christ, we live and move and have our being." Christ is everything to us. More and more, this world is coming now to hate anything that is labeled Christian. And who's behind that? I think we know. Satan is behind anything to put down God's Word, God's way of life, distort, deceive. And yet, as Christians, we must live and submit ourselves to those same authorities that God has appointed and put over us. And this is a test for many of us. Sometimes we forget the fullness of what we must submit to. Let's turn to Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Romans 13, verse 1. Paul, again speaking. Verse 1, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." Verse 2, "Therefore, whoever resists or opposes the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves." I'll stop there. Now, Paul here is speaking in broad, general terms. He was quite aware of the abuses and the crimes that rulers can engage in. Paul suffered greatly by the governing authorities over him. He lived under the rule and the boot of Rome, which can't be compared to living under the freedoms that we all have here in the U.S. Yet Paul wrote those words, to be subject to the authorities that are over us. The guiding principle is that our Christian journey involves learning to submit ourselves and being bossed around, metaphorically, by human authorities as well as by God. Can we do that? Can we submit ourselves to human authorities? Even when they're wrong. Can we accept all the levels of authority that seek to rule over us? To do so helps to give us the discipline, the obedience that we need to truly submit ourselves fully to God. Because God's observing all of that. He's allowing all of that. And He's watching to see how we will handle the situation, what our attitude will be, and so forth. God is our true boss, and we live as His bondservant in righteousness. And of course, it's well understood in all of this discussion on submitting ourselves to various authorities that we cannot submit to any demand upon us that would cause us to disobey or compromise God's law. Never would we submit to that. Peter faced that very issue in his day when the religious authorities over him were eager to put Peter and the other apostles in prison. They had to make a decision. They submitted, but yet there's a line that's drawn. And that line is mentioned in Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Acts 5, 29. But Peter and the other apostles answered. They all agreed on this. They all agreed and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And that principle still applies today. If any time a boss or any authority at work or school or family or church, whatever, seeks for you and me to do anything illegal or unethical or immoral that would be sinful before God, we must decline that action and say, "No, I can't do that. I'd be violating a higher authority. I'd be sinning against God." That's very clear. And that occasionally comes up, but not too often. Not too often. Maybe more in the future. So we need to have that in mind and in place. And if it does come up, and if we're punished or persecuted for breaking the rules of men for righteousness' sake, then so be it. We suffer the penalty, as the apostles did. And we put our lives in the hands of God. All of this is part of proving to God our willingness to be used by Him in His kingdom. In His kingdom. This is a proving ground. We're being tested. He wants to know what we will do in certain circumstances. If we can't be faithful in a few acts of submission today, how can we be used in greater service tomorrow in His kingdom? In the parable of the talents, which relates directly to our spiritual rewards given to us in the kingdom, Christ said in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, Matthew 25, 21, His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Our duty is to have a healthy, humble attitude toward authorities, toward parents. Young people, look up to your parents. Honor them. Obey them. And of course, all of us should have a healthy, humble attitude toward our Creator God. Having a submissive approach in life is greatly valued by God. If we, for a time, for a short period of time on this earth, can be subservient in life to the authorities over us, then we will be exalted in the appointed time that God desires. So, ironically, brethren, what we really need every day is someone telling us what to do, bossing us around how to better ourselves, how to better serve and obey God. Wouldn't that be great to have somebody next to us all the time saying, "Okay, Hopper, you know you need to do this over here. Go ahead and go over and thank that person. no, don't walk that way. Let's go over here. There's more temptation over that way. Wouldn't it be great to have this person next to us, a bodyguard, watching out for us, keeping us on guard, helping us to serve God better, telling us what to do, what not to do, how to think, how to act righteously. What we need is an ever-present guide and teacher behind us, walking with us, to somewhat gently boss us around. Not forcing us particularly, but keeping the Word of God there always in the forefront. And this will happen in God's kingdom, what I've just described. Not so much today. We have to keep God's Word close to us and in our minds constantly. But let's notice the last scripture for today, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20. And this scripture has already been quoted here at the feast. But it won't hurt to use it again and again. And we may even hear it again before the feast is over. It's a beautiful scripture. Isaiah 30, verse 20, speaking of a time soon to come. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, and that means that there's going to be various hard times of life that we experience. And some translations go off in a little different angle here, but there's going to be the ups and downs of life. Yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Verse 21. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. Now, wouldn't that be great if we had that going on today with us? This will happen in the world tomorrow. People will, and when this scripture is brought to full reality in the coming years, we, those of us in the first resurrection, those of us made spirit beings, may well be the teachers that are referenced here, helping, guiding, gently bossing those still physical flesh upon the earth. See, we'll be their teachers and guides, helping them to point them toward God. Our job will be to point people towards God's way of life and to say to them, this is the way. Walk in it. What a glorious opportunity we have ahead of us. And we're in training now so that we can help and guide people in the future. All of this is pictured by the feast that we're now observing. So, brethren, let's invite Christ, our true master, our spiritual teacher, our master boss, into our lives each day. Is Christ living in us? If we have His Spirit, He is. So let's exhibit the fruits of Christ being in us. Let's live in submission to the rules and the authority of the great God that we worship. For to do so will gain us life eternal in the government and family of God.